Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoors Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Benny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
The reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now here's your host, Captain Mickey.
And welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on the Sunday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman. Producing the Outdoor Show this morning is Jay's. And our sponsors today, Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated, the Belleville Meat Market, and Boyd's One Stop. All right, weather. That front slid in during the night, and a little bit cooler this morning, less humidity. Looks like sunny and windy today with a high of 59. North winds will be 20 to 30. Higher wind gusts are possible, and then for tonight, clear skies with a low of 48, northeast winds 15 to 25, and then for tomorrow, sunshine and clouds mixed, high around 60, and those winds will be sliding over to the east at 10 to 20 miles per hour, getting ready for that next front on Wednesday, the real front. These forecasts and these temperatures just keep getting cooler. At nighttime, I think we'll have two really, really cold nights. Looking at current conditions right now, it's pretty breezy. Looks like the North Jetty, it's blowing about 25 out of the north down there. Morgan's Point is 22. Down at San Luis Pass, they're showing basically 21. So it's kind of all over the place. Those are gusts. Earlier, I was seeing gusts up to 35. Especially offshore at the 22-mile buoy. It was right now it's 29. The old rollover side is north at 28 as we speak. So a little bit breezy this morning. Looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions, and we have four of them. We're sitting on a low that occurred just after midnight. We have a high coming up at 6:38 a.m. It's an 0.7, then a low at 12:09 p.m. at 0.3, a high at 6:34 p.m. and 0.7. So the water will be exiting the bay pretty good today. 6:57 a.m. is sunrise, 6:10 p.m. sunset. Our moon phase is 90% right now, so that's kind of where we stand. Keep an eye on these water temperatures. They're all in the low 60s this morning. I think the warmest waters in the Galveston Channel is 65, but most everywhere else, it's about 62 to 63 degrees, and they'll get a lot lower later this week, but I don't think it's anything to worry about. Really don't, but anyway. All right, well, let's Let's get to the Hammer this morning and see what's going on over in the Tri-Bay area where he's at. Morning, Glenn. What's up?
Good morning, Captain Mickey. How you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm good, buddy.
Good.
Another Sunday.
Yes, sir. Hey, and it's ripping down here, 22 miles an hour northwest.
Yeah, well, show 21, so you're still 1 mile an hour off. You need to take that unit back. It's not any good.
Yeah, I'm just getting there warmed up.
Take it back, buddy.
51 degrees, Surfside Beach, and windy as heck. Windy this morning.
It's going to blow all day. Looking at the isobars and all that, it's going to crank.
Well, the fish showed that the pre-front bite was quite good yesterday morning. I went two different times, but the morning trip was by far night and day difference than the afternoon trip.
Right.
But Captain Mickey, we're using live shrimp underneath the popping cork, and it's kind of early for me to be doing that, but it's my cousin from Denton come down, and then my wife wanted to go, and so instead of throwing plastic, I put my cousin, so he ain't much for artificial, and he requested we put some bait on, so I put some hop-o-matics on there and some popping corks, and man, did we have some fun from the first stop. From the very first stop, Captain Mickey, the cork, you didn't even have to pop it. It hit the water and you're gone.
It kept going.
We kept five keeps on that one stop.
Yeah.
And that I was already ready to go back to the house. He just wanted a few. She wanted to keep a couple for her cousin or something. But anyway, just out having fun, man. The water was decent, 62 degrees at the channel where I launched. And then by the time we came in, it was like 63. Mm-hmm. I got a 65 reading in the afternoon. So it started warming up. But, man, it was he had a 24-inch red. They had a 20-inch drum. So six trout, a red, and a drum, and that's all underneath popping corks. I didn't even throw my plastic. I just sit back and laughed at them and baited their hooks, and as fast as I could bait their hook and do the casting for them, man, it was on. But it was really, really fun. So we got in about 11:30, clean fish up, got him on the way back, and then here comes another friend of mine, shows up about 1 o'clock, and from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock, we went out, and it was night and day difference. The bite had just went south. We caught everything that morning. Yesterday morning was on a kind of like it's almost standing tide. It had come in all the way up. I mean, it was a bull tide. When we got out there, you couldn't see a towhead. You couldn't see a reef. It was like plenty of water in the bay. So, I mean, like I said, from the first stop, everything we did was right. And no tournament fish, thank goodness, but everything from 17 to 19 inches. And
right.
Anyway, had a nice handful of trout, buddy. We've caught numerous. Now, the morning trip, we caught tons of little stuff, too. Little black drum and small. I even caught a sand trout. I didn't.
What's the size limit on a drum now? 14 inches?
14. It's 14. Yeah. And 14 to 30, you know, I tried to discourage him from keeping that one that was 20 inches long, because still, you don't get much of a fillet off of a big old fish like that. I mean, what you get is okay. It's white meat.
And a lot of head there. Yeah, drum meat.
It's
good.
A lot of head, a lot of backbone. Mm-hmm. It's just a miniature army tank, almost like a sheep head. You know what I mean? You just don't get much of it. It's a lot of hassle cleaning those son of a gun for what little bit of meat you get out of them. But anyway, he wanted the fish, so I cleaned it for him. And anyway, pretty good day, man. I'm wore out this morning. I don't look to do two trips in a row. And it was fun trips. It wasn't like, you know, I had to go out and make sure everybody got a limit or something. It was just going out and having fun. It was pretty busy. Quite a few the kayakers, the wind kept them down. That wind started picking up. In the afternoon trip, it really started picking up. And I think it was blowing south yesterday evening. I don't know, but it was south, southwest, or coming more out of the south, but it was blowing and started picking up. And anyway, we only fished a couple hours in the afternoon, and that was it for him. He took one. Jeremy took one 17 or 18. No, it was an 18-inch trout. He kept one fish yesterday afternoon. And that was really all the keepers we could have caught. That was it. It was slowed down. I mean, the tide had just started turning around and going out. And by the time we came in, it was going out pretty good. But it just seemed like there was a better tide or something. Something was definitely better in the morning than it was the afternoon. But anyway, going to watch car races today. And
Daytona 500 today.
Mm-hmm. And that's about all I got planned, man. I'm going to take it easy today. Can't do much out there with that wind ripping. I have to clean the boat. I still got a little cleanup to do on the boat this morning. So.
You'll have a slow week next week when that front comes in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm already looking.
Put us on the back burner for a few days.
Right. It was nice to get out, though, man, just to get out of the house and go do something. And fish were cooperative.
Somebody caught a high eight in that West End Anglers Tournament yesterday.
Holy moly.
You know, that's
a big old fish.
Galveston hadn't heard of a fish like that since last year. Some guy caught a nine in it about this time of year. So that's man.
Well, I've seen plenty of waders out. I hardly ever see anybody back there where I am. And they've kind of found out about it, I guess, as much as I've advertised the little place. And there's a couple boats out with waders out of the boat yesterday. It's real tough. Drum Bay is just muddy, mucky, silty. It's just not prime wading conditions. You know what I mean? It's a nasty old old mud.
When you're young and strong, hey, that mud doesn't slow you down.
Yeah, I know it.
I used to wade it. I don't anymore, but I used to just trudge off through it. We used to catch some big trout like that, though, this time of year.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know, man.
There's plenty of it over here, let me tell you. You better use your power poles, and then you're lucky if you can get them to come up out of that mud. It's so thick. But anyway, let's see what else is going on. But anyway, if you get here early, you can buy some shrimp, or you can find some shrimp at the bait camps. It was decent, too. They were all nice little hoppers and little white shrimp. They wasn't small. They were pretty decent fish. They were medium.
Size, huh?
Good bait size. Perfect for underneath popping cord. And, I got enough in the morning to last the trip in the afternoon. I bought 2 quarts in the morning. Used about a quart, for the morning trip. And then I had enough saved for him. So, but anyway, live bait day. And, hey, man, I just took it easy. I didn't, come home, clean some fish, did some casting for them and stuff. And that was about it. But they had a good time. That was a day that goes down.
That's all that matters,
right there. Yes, sir.
That's what you go
for. Yes, sir.
Have you a good time? Catch a few fish. Hey, nothing wrong with
that. You bet. And do the cleanup today. Get out there with the power washer and get after it.
Yeah.
But
put your slicker on, because it's blowing. You'll get wet.
Yeah, I know. Oh yeah, and there. I looked at my little weather thing. I mean, on my phone, and it shows we're supposed to be getting rain from now till all morning. I don't have any radar to look at, but anyway, they say it's going to start raining here in about an hour and rain all morning. Hmm. So we'll see how it goes. Northwest at 22 miles an hour northwest right now.
Yep.
22, blowing. Get out there and get you some.
Well, hey, buddy, have a good day, and somebody wants to call you about coming over and fishing with you, give them a number, man.
Yes, sir. They can always reach me at 713-208-0683. Happy fun Sunday, buddy. Thank you, Captain Mickey.
See you, bud. Later.
Yes, sir.
All right. All right, that's the Hammer over in the Tri-Bay area. Folks, are you looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure? Welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch, a premier hunting and fishing destination right in Matagorda, Texas. And whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, or even alligator hunts, Rusty Hook Ranch has it all. And don't forget about their top tier Matagorda Bay fishing charter. So bring your friends, your clients, let the boys at Rusty Hook Ranch take care of everything. From five-star lodging, skeet shooting and sporting clays to a fully stocked bass pond, and your weekend here will be one you won't soon forget. So if you need a place for team building, family reunions, weddings, or other events, Rusty Hook Ranch can sleep large groups up to 40 and host events for up to 300 people. So why wait? Experience the best of Texas at Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today at RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com, and tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 418 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to Freeport now. Let's check in with our good friend, Captain Jeff Naylor. Hey, Naylum, what's up?
What's going on, Mickey? How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm here. Just watching the front blow. Boy, it's a little breezy this morning.
Yeah. Good morning, Mickey.
Hey, Casey, what's up, dog?
Oh, I was in denial this morning. I got up and walked outside in my shorts and flip-flops.
Denial.
I walked out. Yeah, I was in denial.
Oh, man, this isn't Costa Rica. We do get some kind of winter down here on the coast.
Yeah, it was warm yesterday. I thought we were going to have another warm day, and I was wrong.
Yeah, that was nice. Except for the, you know, it was just all humid and moist and sprinkly and windy.
Yeah, indeed. It chilled back out this morning. Breezy as heck outside right now.
Right.
Yeah, there's no weather windows for a little while, it looks like. So
I think this week is going to be kind of out of the question.
Yeah, certainly appears to be. Get all your honeydews done this week, boys. Get them done for the wives. Get your stuff done. No fishing this week.
No, it's not looking too good. What have y'all been up to?
Okay. Been going down to the, been going down to South Texas. I went down about 3 weeks ago, and I'm going back down this week to feed the deer and maybe even get one more shot at the quail. But they're going to be, they may have icicle stuff to them when I'm trying to shoot them. It's going to be cold, but.
Well, they made him through that last freeze. Blaine was sure worried about his quail, and he said, man, he loaded up with his trail mix, that he feeds them, and he started hitting the cinders, and he said they were running out of the woodwork like cockroaches, man.
Oh, yeah.
They did good.
I went for like 2 days last month, and the same thing for me, too. They were coming out quick to that feed. They're out scratching right now looking because there's not a lot of forage out there.
No. Not a lot of bugs for them either, It's need a little rain, a little warm weather to get them grasshoppers going again.
Yeah. Definitely still pretty dry down there for sure.
Yeah,
we had a lot of cover because we used to run cows quite often on our place. We hadn't run cows in a year, so we still have a bunch of cover that the cows would have eaten pretty if we'd have had the cows on there the whole time. So it's good that we have that. They at least have cover to hide from the predators and stuff. Because they're still. This is when the hawks and the hawks get them bad this time of year. The hawks and the owls and stuff get them because all the hawks are down here right now, and the quail don't have as much stuff to hide in, and they're out looking for food, so they're going to get caught right now. So they need to be able to hide.
Yeah.
And
never really thought about that.
Oh yeah.
So, Kate's going to Toledo Bend crappie fishing.
I got invited to go crappie fishing in Toledo Bend. It was going to be this week coming up, but they canceled it. It's going to be the next week.
Yeah.
And so, new thing for me. I haven't done that since I was a kid, so I'm going to go give it a shot.
Well, it's worth it for the table fare. There's nothing wrong
with
a nice platter of fried crappie, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
You ain't kidding. Oh, that's good white meat.
I think they said it's 25 per person per day or something like that.
Yeah, 25 per person.
Get a chest full of them. Oh, yeah.
Well, the fishing show is wrapping up today. And, what I hear is overall success. We haven't been for whatever reason. This has got to be the first year. I think we might go today. But, otherwise, I've heard some new things from the fishing show. This electric fishing reel, this Kobo fishing reel, is basically going to compete with an LP.
And, Kobo.
Big expensive one. Yeah.
Is that with a K or a C?
With a K.
With a K. Kobo. That's what I thought. Kobo.
Yeah. Kobo. They're an electric reel. They're trying to compete with the LPs. It's the Papa's family. Please, I hope it's gotten. Anyway, the owner is one of the
Papa's family.
Yeah. He's an electrical engineer and has a good story, as far as why he built this thing and the MSRP on it, $7,000 or something. So it's actually more.
$7,500.
What
do you use those for? Like swordfish or what?
Yeah. Swordfish, deep drop. I mean, even on pulling dredges. So on a center console, even on a big sport fish or something like that. You put the dredges out the side and use those to go down with.
What do you mean the dredges?
A dredge.
You use it for dredge, so not fishing.
Yeah, well, I mean, you use it for fishing. Well, yeah. Yeah. So a dredge being the lures that are on wires that come out in a big basket.
Oh, yeah, dredge rig.
Dredge rig. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Scared me there. I was trying to figure out. That's got to be a dredge rig he's talking about.
Yeah. Put those when you're pulling them. It depends.
So you kind of use it as a downrigger kind of a deal too. I guess you would say.
I mean, kind of. It's really, that dredge is an attractant.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing more than that.
You don't put a bait on it. You don't put a hook on it. It's just for
attractive fish. normally. I mean, I think I've seen people put, you know, those daisy chains people pull behind their boats. I've seen right. them put lures behind those.
Yeah, well, we pulled some when I rushed you out there that one time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But no, this isn't, no. This is just simply a drain. And really what it is, it's kind of mimic a school of fish, you know, uh-huh. a bunch of them behind, or squid, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, Deb, you use these, those during, like, sail fishing and fishing for white marlin, stuff like that, to kind of the schooler billfish,
uh-huh.
opposed to a blue marlin. They say that they do work with a blue marlin. We pulled some the other day when we were out there with Steve, mainly just with lures. Yeah, I don't think you would actually pull that. Now, I don't know. Anyways, those couple reels are electric reels and do the same exact thing you do with LPs or any electric reels you got right now, down, deep drop, pulling dreads, whatever.
Yeah. But buddy of mine brings an LP out quite often when it comes to fishing. Yeah, I remember this last summer when we were having all them shark problems. He was worried that LP was getting a workout, boy. Because he was hooking in big sharks on that thing. It was ugly.
Bringing them right up?
No, he wasn't bringing them right up. That's the thing. Oh. These sharks were tough. Wow. Most of the time they were breaking off. We ended up getting one up to the boat, and it was one of those, I believe it was a sandbar shark. And, I don't know, 300-400 pounds or something like that, yeah. Big, long things, man, like 9-10 foot. They were big old sharks on out there at Campeche.
Wow. Yeah, yank them all off. Get them out of here. That's, yeah, man. Hey, you know, this whole, for a couple of years, Mickey, I had an amberjack spot that was just was absolute dynamite. It was it had to be a spot where they were spawning or something, because, you know, it just, they never went away.
Yeah.
You know, and normally when you're fishing for AJs, you know, you hit them for a couple weekends in a row and they pretty much get tough to find, you know, on a single spot.
Uh-huh.
But this one, it just never went away. I mean, we just, every time we'd go out there for months on end, I mean, we'd get yada, yada, yada. For about 2 years, it was nice. And I showed up the third year, and those sharks took over, and that was a wrap, man. I mean, I remember I sent one up. We dropped the first bait down with the bent butt, and of course it got broke off, got bit off.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a Cristal reel, and as far as electric reels go, Cristals are the fastest. They're not the you don't have as much drag on them, but they're the fastest by a long shot. Anyways, I put a bait on there. And I said, you know what? I'm gonna shoot this AJ up so fast that shark can't find it or can't catch it. And I hit that button. And when that AJ got to the top, it not only did it come out of the water, I mean, it flew like 2 feet out of the water, and that shark literally came out of the water with it. I mean, and grabbed it. Yeah.
And when those things move in,
there's just too, it's so many, you can't even blast a fish past them. I mean,
time to take a boat ride at that point, I think.
Yeah. And I ain't talking fish, you know.
No, not 288 North. Take a boat ride when those sharks get that bad.
Yeah.
It happened to us this summer. We were catching grifters on a spot every drop. We were catching every drop. And eventually, they found it.
Yeah.
And that was a wrap. Then they started pulling them off.
Yeah. You know, speaking of, so they have a workshop this coming week on Tuesday at 8 a.m. in Galveston, and it's about They're trying to implement a database of hotspots of sharks. So this is what they'd
be pretty easy to do right now.
Yeah,
pick a spot.
Exactly. You know, the whole entire Gulf of, you know, whatever it is now.
Yeah, Gulf of America.
The way it has been the last few years, just pull out somewhere and just throw some bait in the water and you're going to find sharks. Good Lord.
Yeah. Oh, it's unbelievable. It's just crazy. But anyway, they're trying to come up with a system so that fishermen can see hotspots of sharks and of porpoise. For whatever reason, I think down in Florida they have a lot of problems with porpoises or hitting them. I don't even know. I mean, people say that they steal their fish a lot. I used to have that. I haven't had that issue in a long time.
Porpoise will come up there and steal your kingfish off your rig. They'll come and steal bait if you're fishing with live bait.
Yeah.
But I haven't had that problem in a long time. That's correct. And it's funny you said that because, yes, the porpoises used to be our really only worry. Now we got to worry about sharks, too. You know, yeah. We got two problems now.
Yeah.
And like you said, porpoises, a.k.a. bottlenose dolphins, you know, those oceanic, those smaller schooling dolphins, they don't mess with you. They usually swim right through. So freaking bottlenose dolphins are the ones. The big bottlenose dolphins are the ones that give you problems. And they'll get brave, like you said, and they'll start pulling fish off hooks.
Oh, they dealt me and Cliff Fitz when I was down there fishing with him this past year. We were down there in the land cut, and we'd have to just pull off our school because every fish we released, they'd eat them right at the boat. They'd hide under the boat, and as soon as the fish hit the water, it looked like, you know, Sea-O-Rama. And you know, or Sea World. I always say Sea Rama. I grew up with, you know, the one in Galveston, but
one in Galveston.
I mean, you talk about a nuisance, and we'd pick up and leave and go 3 or 4 miles, find another school, start working on them, and in 10 minutes we'd have dolphin all over us. It was crazy.
Wow. That, you know, speaking of, and actually now that you mentioned it. You know, there's only like one spot that I've had problems with dolphin in the last couple of years. You know, the kingfish spot. That's the only place I really have had problems in the last years.
Yeah, they're infamous for screwing up your kingfishing.
Right. I mean,
they're in the general area where you're kingfishing. You might as well leave.
Yeah.
I mean, the kingfish are not going to bite.
They like trout. I know that. Boy, they drill trout fits.
Man. And that's a good point. I never thought of it, you know, like that.
Do you see that that big whale swallow that kayaker and spit him out? Did you see that video of that?
I did.
Yes, I didn't. I heard about
somebody it. Somebody sent me that, and I thought, well, man, that's probably AI or whatever. Well, I saw it on national news, and I said, oh, man, that's a real deal, I guess.
I saw that video, but I thought it was, like, computer-generated, you know?
That's what I was thinking. It was AI, but, no, it was legit, apparently. I know Fox ran it and some other news channels, and I'm going, man, wow. I bet that guy saw his life flash before his eyes. But he was on his buddy was in a kayak, and he was on like kind of a rubber raft-looking thing, and it sucked him in and spit him out.
Well, what's it like? Only guy can tell the story of what it's like inside of a whale's mouth. Not many people know that. That's the story you tell. Oh, goodness.
That is true. Boy, they can display some water when they suck in and spit out.
Boy, you ain't kidding.
Wow, that's crazy.
And I saw another video of a great white chasing a guy on his kayak.
Yeah. These kayakers are going to get their comeuppance if they're not careful. They need to be careful.
Yeah, great white kayak, that's just a little snack for him. You know, a big one.
Remember the movie Jaws when the guy says you're going to need a bigger boat? Well, they definitely need a bigger boat.
You got that right. Let me knock this break out. I'll be right back, gentlemen. Hang with me. All right. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everyone about the Belleville Meat Market, located right in downtown Belleville, short drive from Sealy off I-10 or Hempstead off 290. And while you're by their meat market, check out their smoked sausage samples. They're available daily in the store. You can try whatever blend you like and then buy it. And then they have a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue that's served Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And check out their bulk pricing on fresh ground beef and all of their pecan smoked sausage. And wholesale smoked sausage pricing, that's available for the rodeo cook-off team. So 250-pound orders or larger, call and ask for Ben. He'll get you hooked up. And bone-in center cut pork chops, $2.99 a pound. Limit 10 pounds per customer. And their wild game processing facility. Check out their new sausage recipe that's available. You got to try it. It's really good. While you're at it, get some deer tamales made and venison hot dogs. Your family will love that you did. The Belleville celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 4:38 here in the Bayou City. All right, Casey and Jeff, we are back.
Back in action.
Back in action. Here we go.
You know, so you're going down to Carrizo. Mm-hmm. I got a guy I need to drag down there. You know, he loves hunting for arrowheads. How many arrowheads have you found recently down there?
Unless I'm trailing, tracking a deer through the brush, I'm probably not going to find one because I don't want to look for them that much. But people that come look usually will find them. Mm-hmm. They come look. Over the years, I mean, my aunt and my uncle used to come down all the time. My uncle's an archaeologist. He worked for Exxon, or used to, and they used to come down there and find them all the time.
Yeah.
So they're there for sure, 100%. We found a bird point one time, a perfect little bird point, little tiny arrow, perfectly made.
Yeah, for shooting arrow. Birds.
Yeah, for shooting birds, a bird, really cool looking little.
Best time to find them is after a good hard rain. That's when Blaine's brother, he'll walk around, he finds, man, he's got an arrowhead collection that is unbelievable.
Wow. We have a little one there built up over the years. When people would find one, we'll put them in a little case, like a little display deal, glass display deal.
Yeah.
But myself, I don't really go hunting them that much. I don't look for them. I found some spear points and some halfway points just walking around, not really trying, you know, looking for something else and finding it. So they're there. We have a lot of caliche, too. We have a lot of caliche hills with a lot of rock on them. Like you said, you get a rain, you can, those things can move around a little bit. You'll get a, that water will run down the draw and create a little, like a cut through the, and it'll sometimes expose the, right now we got, I wouldn't be surprised nowadays with all the traffic we've had is it making new arrowheads down there. There's so many people coming through the property.
Yeah.
New Native Americans making arrowheads down there. Yeah. So many people coming through.
Yeah.
I thought it hadn't slowed down a little bit.
Oh, I mean, it's to a crawl now, except for the Gotaway bunch, you know, the ones that are.
Well, the last time I went down there was right when the president was getting sworn in. So they were busy right then. You know, people were trying to get their last effort through. So
yeah. I think border crossings have dropped 93% is what I heard on the news a couple of days ago.
I'm tired of tripping shoes and clothes when I'm walking to the stand in the morning.
Tired of what?
Tripping over people's shoes and clothes when I'm walking through the stand.
Man, they leave all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah, man.
I'm worse than the last
few years, yeah. There was. I mean, I literally was hunting one time and had two different groups come by in one sitting.
Yeah.
And then a couple years back, it was like October, we were checking all the deer stands out before deer season and got up in one. We climbed up in one deer stand, and it was like somebody had been living in there for a month.
Ugh.
It was full of clothes and food and blankets and shoes, and it was a disaster in there.
Really?
Yeah, and it was a bunch of diet pills in there. Like, whoever was in there was taking diet pills.
Huh.
Yeah, like, I don't know, some kind of Mexican diet pill. I don't know what they were. We looked them up. They were pills for dieting.
Yeah.
So this guy was on a diet while he was trying to get across. I don't know, it was weird. But so I had my nephew. I didn't really want to clean it out. He needed something to do. I brought my nephew down there and paid him to help me. So I was like, okay, you got a job. You get to clean this thing out. I brought him some trash bags. I said, clean it out. So he cleaned it out.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've been meaning to ask you. So we talked about the Miami thing, the your guys from down south.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a new outfitter down there. Did you add another outfitter to your outfitter or what?
Yeah, there's several new to us. Let's put it that way. New to doing business with us. Mostly like Red Stag outfitting. You know, people doing Red Stag hunts down there because that's the big thing now. People go down there to do Red Stags.
So we're talking about Argentina, South Argentina. I've told you before, KG has an outfitter that you actually.
I do bookings for two guys down there that have that represent probably 80% of the bird hunters and big game hunters down there. So,
and with another guy that might be doing.
We met with another gentleman in Florida that has a big red stag operation that we're trying to book for. So these guys like to concentrate on their operation. They don't mind concentrating on booking so much, you know. So that it helps them out.
Well,
they don't have to mess with the people as much and collecting money and all that stuff. They just worry about what they need to do.
Right. Well, what else happened? I mean, did they have a good,
outlook on the hunting this year?
It's good. Yeah, and this is going into their big season right now. Right now. I mean, their season is opposite of ours. So this is fall there. Going into fall.
Yeah.
Right. So it's the end of the summer. So everybody's going to start hunting now. So yeah, this is a big time. People are booking. People are paying money. People are getting ready to go down there. They're March through the whole summer. March through August is the busiest time.
Well, for the bird hunting and the big game hunting, both.
Yeah.
And you go, don't you go bird hunting in August, right?
I try to go there once a year, but I haven't been since like 2 years now. I usually go in July or August, July.
Yeah.
I go in the middle of the winter there. It's the coldest time.
Yep.
So
Interesting.
Yep. So it's a good deal, and it's a great place to go. I mean, you know, you get the food and the steaks and the wine and the hunting, and you get treated like a king. I mean, it's great.
What's the overall ballpark for three guys going to hunt stags down there?
You're probably looking at a minimum of 8,000 or 9,000 a person.
8,000 or 9,000 a person.
Mm-hmm. Now, hunting dove, you're probably looking at. Per day, you're probably looking at $1,000 a day total cost. That's not going to include your shells. By the time you tip and everything, it's $1,000, and then your shells are another. Depends how much you shoot. And the shells are expensive. $14
a box, that's maybe. The big deal. That's your biggest bill is your shell bill.
$14, $15
you shoot.
Now, probably. The shells have gone up just like everything else has, you know.
And then duck hunting's going to be about the same.
Duck hunting's a little more money than dove hunting because they got to, you know, they just a little more of a fancier hunt, I guess you would say. I'd say you're up more like $1,500 for duck hunt a day. But, I mean, that includes your food and everything. You know, the lodging, the food, everything, not just the hunting part. You're not going to shoot as many shells when you duck hunt, though. That's the good part about that. You're not going to shoot.
Right.
Generally speaking, I mean, it's a general what the limits are on ducks, but generally it's around 25 a day per person. Yeah, generally. But a lot of it's not like it never seems to be a concrete rule.
Yeah.
Because I shoot 25 or whatever, like I've shot 25 already or whatever, but I just keep shooting nowhere, you know. So they tell you 25, but I don't know, it doesn't always seem to be the case.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So the gentleman's
limit. It's a far cry from here. We can shoot 6. You can go down there and shoot 25. Yeah. That's a lot of ducks, man, for one man.
Yeah, a lot of times they'll give you 25 or 4 boxes of shells, whichever comes first.
You better shoot good.
If you shoot 4 boxes and you didn't kill 25, sometimes they'll be like, all right, that's enough.
Well, I used to have customers shoot 4 boxes of shells just to get 6. Over the decoys. Say, golly, man.
Yeah, generally speaking, the shooting is, from my experience, even the duck hunting, the shooting is fairly easy. Most of the time, they're decoying. I mean, you take tough shots. You can always take tough shots. I mean, you can take passing shots or long shots if you want. You know, some of your bigger ducks get smarter, just like they are here, and they're harder to get to come down. Some of the teal will just drop right down on top of you, and the big ducks will circle and circle and circle. And if you want to wait for them, I have to take a longer shot. Because the problem is, you're shooting with another guy, and you got a teal coming in low, and he shoots the teal, and you're waiting for these big ducks to come down. So it's good to communicate. Like, wait, just wait. We're going to get our limit of birds. You only need to shoot the first one that comes down. Like, let's wait, you know. So it's a lot of fun, though. I'm supposed to go this summer there, but it just depends on how the schedule works. I'm supposed to go there in July to a new place that I've never been to, duck hunting place.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be really good, but I don't, it's not for sure. We'll see if it happens or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, the only trip that we have, we're still trying to book for the World Cup, the Dofish World Cup. Steve and I want to go to Cape Verde, South Africa. That's July 4th.
Cape Verde, so, man.
Cape Verde, South Africa. You got an outfitter down there?
No, sure would be nice. Not Cape Verde, South Africa. You're talking about the Cape Verde Islands on it.
Oh, yeah.
Intertropical convergence zone west off of Senegal?
Yeah.
Off of West Africa?
Yeah.
Where the hurricane start?
I mean, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah, that's where all the spawning goes on for hurricane season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where all the hurricanes are born.
There's a big tournament there.
No. It's a World Cup. It's a tournament that goes around the world, anywhere in the world. You could be in Australia, in the Cairns. You could be in
Ohano.
But
Hawaii.
This particular event is held there. You're just going to fish there.
No, no, no. It's not. It's actually held out of Florida. It's called the Blue Marlin World.
Yeah, you can fish anywhere on the globe.
But that's the place y'all have chosen to try to go?
Well, I mean, historically speaking, it's where the biggest blue marlin have been caught, or the winners have been caught the last couple of years. That in Madeira, Portugal. So as it turned out, though, the getting a boat, everybody's booked, you know, over in that area. There's not a ton, they're not per capita a lot of charters on those islands, you know.
There's Yellowfin over there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, run it from here.
Yeah, just a quick swim across the Atlantic, you know.
Sure, no problem. Hey, Christopher Columbus did it, and all he had was a sailboat. He had a scrubby old skiff.
I need to get started now so I can get there by July.
Better get a big bladder.
Yeah. You know, pretty much. Throw a whole boat full of, you know, barge or something.
Your barge over there.
But, no, I mean, we're trying to book for the World Cup. We had a boat that we thought was good, but as it turned out, they had already been booked. I guess it was just bad conversation.
Is that a summertime trip?
It's July 4th.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
right in the middle of the summer.
Yeah. So the blue marlin migrate. You know, they migrate from basically from Madeira, which is kind of more like in the Strait, the Gibraltar Strait, down south
from
to that
coast of Morocco, basically all the way down.
Yeah,
all the way down there
to Cape Verde. Yeah. And then Cape Verde, I mean, they've actually put tags in them and tracked them, you know, and they kind of stay in that one little area and they swim back over to the Caribbean or up to.
They'll swim all the way across?
Yeah.
Official?
Yeah. They'll go all the way across the whole Atlantic to the Caribbean.
Wow.
I mean, it's a migration pattern every year. But anyways, that didn't pan out. It hasn't currently. Anyways, it's you know, that's a huge deal there. So you gotta get on the books years in advance, which we got on last year on the books. And like I said, it didn't turn out.
How does it work as far as catching a fish and all that and competing in the World Cup? How do you just take a picture? Obviously, you don't kill the fish.
No, you have to kill. You kill if you kill fish at a tournament. Yeah. Yeah. So you kill the fish, you get a, you know, official weight, and then you got it. Send it in, kind of thing. It's only a one-day deal. That's it. So you got one day to fish, unlike a lot of other, you know, tournaments that have some days. Now, historically speaking, when you go book a charter to go blue marlin fishing during this World Cup, generally speaking, you'll go book 3 days. You know, do 2 days in advance to pre-fish and then fish the day of, you know, kind of thing. It's blue marlin. There's nothing else. It's a winner take all. There's no second place. There's no third place. There's no runner up. There's a side pot. It's a big blue marlin side pot. It's like $8,000 to enter, and it pays out even if the tournament doesn't. So you know, you don't necessarily have to win the biggest fish in the tournament. As long as you're in that side pot, you can win some money. It tends to be actually more money. So. So it's just been something that we've had on the books. We weren't able to go, or it's looking like we won't have a boat, so we might actually end up going the week after the Cape Verde and just fishing for blue marlin for fun. Some of the biggest blue marlin in the world are right there. And then the other hot spot is Kona, Hawaii. And, you know, it's very ironic as far as this World Cup thing goes, because the winner of the tournament have been caught in Cape Verde and Madeira, Portugal, more times than, you know, in the last 20 years, like 15 out of 20 years, something like that. I say that. Hawaii has been caught a few times.
What does it take generally to win that tournament? Like,
are we talking
about 1,000 pounds?
No, not even a grander. I mean, they're like,
I saw
pounds.
Somebody caught a grander last week or something. It was about 1,100 and something pounds.
Yeah, I saw that. I was, somebody did catch one recently. And I want to say they caught one in Madeira, actually.
I can only imagine how big that is after seeing that one Cameron and that crew caught, you know, that was 9, 974 or whatever it was. I mean, that is just so huge.
I mean, you know, any fish that's pushes a thousand pounds, I mean, you basically reel that boat, you know. It's pretty crazy. Good point. Like those bluefin, the same way, you know, they're kind of butterball. You know, they're a little bit shorter than they are, you know, than the equivalent in the marlin. But those marlin, man, those, we pulled one up that was probably, we guesstimate, was in the 700s. And, man, it, you know, that's a big fish.
Well, here's a question. Just maybe this is a dumb question. Well, if you can't get a boat over there and you want to fish in the tournament, you could fish here.
You can.
You could fish here.
And the side pot has actually been won out of Venice like 3 or 4 times. That was what I was getting at. Like, it's so weird. You can fish all around the world. The big fish has always been caught somewhere else, but the little fish has been caught, or the side pot fish has been caught out of Gulf of Mexico a few times.
Gulf of America?
Gulf of America.
I just call it the Gulf. That way there's no discrepancies. Were y'all out in the Gulf?
Yeah. But no, I mean, it's a great opportunity. I mean, I my buddy's been fishing the Bisbee's Black and Blue down in Cabo, you know, each year for the last years. And that crew, you know, they fish that Bisbee's and then they disperse and go all around the world and fish different tournaments and, you know, all that. So it's something that he's been trying to put together with that crew that he been down there for a long time and hadn't quite got there yet.
There's a place that I want to go fishing that's really crazy off the map. It's called Ascension Island. I think I probably told you about it before. It's literally in the middle of the Atlantic in between Brazil and Africa. I mean, it's right in the center. And it's very difficult to get there. You have to get there on a military flight somehow and get there. And there's charter boats there, a few of them. The size of the yellowfin tuna that gets there is incredible. It gets those 300-pound yellowfin tuna there quite often. And they catch mahi, and they catch, you know, different kinds of groupers and stuff close to the island. It's a, like one island sticking up in the middle of the ocean, so there's nothing else around it. But fishing there is apparently pretty crazy.
Yeah.
It's called Ascension Island. Yeah, it's in the middle of the Atlantic, literally.
I've heard of the Ascension Islands, middle of nowhere.
Pretty much.
That's exactly right. All right, boys. Well, hey, we're out of time already. If somebody wants to get with y'all doing some blue water fishing, whenever that's going to happen, man, it's kind of on the back burner right now. But if somebody wants to get with you, give them some info, Jeff.
Yeah, call me 979-417-1013 or go to our website at stsladventures.com.
All right. Casey, appreciate you coming in. You're welcome anytime, man. We always enjoy your company, brother.
No problem.
And, hey, y'all take care. Y'all have at it.
Awesome. All right. Thank you. Later.
Good luck, guys. See you. All right. It's time for our top of the hour break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.